It's Friday, May 20th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we're in the press box following Thursday's loss to the Cincinnati Reds. The Guardians fall 4-2, unable to come up with big hits in big situations again, and really wasted an outstanding pitching performance by Cal Quantrill.
Yeah, Quantrill, what? One run, seven innings, Joe, no walks, five Ks. He said it was his best start of the season, and I think anyone who saw it would have to agree. And once again, victim of no-run support. And they scored 13 runs for him in his first game of the season in KC, and they scored two or fewer in his next six.
Yeah, it's if two guys on the roster can go ahead and sue for run support, I guess it would be Zach Plesac and Cal Quantrill, the two guys that pitched in this series against the Reds. Both of them had pretty decent outings and come up empty in the win column. And it's not like the Guardians didn't have their chances against Tyler Malley. Framil Reyes hits a drive in the second inning that you'd think, you know, on a day when the wind's maybe not blowing in, or maybe he just got under it a little too much, but that ball looked like it was going to go out, and just some really tough luck at bats in places where they needed hits.
Yeah, definitely. And, Reyes, the long drive to the warning track in center field, you know, on a, like you said, on a better day and a calmer day, maybe it's a three-run homer, and, the Guardians, at least have some room to operate. But as it was, it's 1-1 going into the eighth inning. You know, when that happens, it's dangerous. You know, anything can happen when you get that late in a game, and it's 1-1. I mean, you're playing with fire there.
The bullpen comes in the eighth. Trevor Stephan starts the inning. Gives up three consecutive hits. This is the second straight outing that we've seen Trevor Stephan kind of struggle. And, we knew where Terry Francona's confidence in Stephan was before this series. Where do you think it's at now?
I think he's got to stay with them, Joe. I mean,
doesn't have a lot of options.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of options. Or unless you, I thought Eli Morgan came in and pitched really well, but I don't think Eli is that kind of guy. I think they want him, down the road to be a starter. You know, he's kind of just filling in spots right now. So you've got to go with, stay with Stephan. Or, you've got Brian Shaw back there if, Stephan needs a rest. Or, maybe a less pressurized inning.
Yeah, I really think they see Morgan as more of a length guy as opposed to a one-inning late-inning kind of guy, but he was pretty effective when he came in. You could see why they like him so much. The changeup was really working, and, he attacked hitters, whereas Stephan, made too many mistakes in the strike zone, and that was I talked to him about the ball that Tyler Naquin hit off of him to sort of lead off that eighth inning, and that was what he said. He made a mistake in the zone with a pitch that he was really trying to waste to get him on a fastball and then get to something else a little bit later.
Yeah, and Palacios could have helped him a little bit on that play too.
Yeah.
I don't think he took the best route on the ball. Maybe he didn't see it, but it looked like it hung up there for a little bit where it would have been a good catch, but I thought he kind of...
You're also talking about Palacios, who's not necessarily a full-time outfielder.
Right.
He's only been playing in there maybe less than a year in the outfield, but... You liked some of the at-bats that you saw out of him. Let's talk about Tyler Naquin. Obviously, he was the story of this game up until that eighth inning. The home run, solo home run, he's now got, five home runs in his career against his former club in eight games. And he was 8-for-15 in this series, a couple of doubles, three home runs, and he was named the most outstanding player of the Ohio Cup. As the Reds win two and the Guardians win two.
Yeah, just, when the Indians, they were the Indians. When they non-tendered him after the 2020 season, he was, I think, you know, I remember talking to his agent, and, you know, he kind of hung out there for a long time. Nobody really signed him till the Reds signed him late, you know, in just before spring training to a minor league deal. And I asked the agent a couple times, do you think Trevor would re-sign with Cleveland if it comes to that? And he goes, no, he's not going back. And so, you know, I think his feelings were hurt, kind of. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't like he was making a king's ransom.
Right.
You know, I think he was making maybe in arbitration would have made 1.6 million. And they had like six or seven guys they could have non-tendered that year, and they picked him. And, you know, I think, and, you know, they said all the right things when they did. You know, Chris Antonetti was very complimentary because, you know, he was the number one pick
right.
in 2012. He stayed, you know, he played here a long time, was the, you know, almost the rookie of the year in 2016, won the center field job when they went to Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, and, you know, we asked Tito in the post game about Tyler Naquin, and he said it's not like we didn't see that out of him, because there were times when he had a 900-plus, you know, OPS when he was playing for him. It was just always coming back to the matter of staying healthy and being able to be on the field, and I think that's really what sort of drove the organization away from him. And, hey, if you're Tyler Naquin and you take that and you turn it around and you say, okay, well, I'm going to stay healthy, I'm going to make sure that I'm always going to be able to post, you know, that's what you took away from your time in Cleveland. But now if you're in Cincinnati, you at least know you're going to get to play him a minimum of four times a year, and you're going to see him at spring training right next door, and, you know, all those times. So there will be opportunities for Tyler Naquin, as you so eloquently put it in your game story, to haunt the Guardians moving forward. I think that's a great way to put it. You know, could he be the next Brandon Phillips? Could he be the next, you know, one that got away from Cleveland and then just comes back with Cincinnati every year and makes them regret not keeping him in the lineup?
Yeah, you know, Brandon Phillips, he was an all-star. He was a Gold Glover. He was, you know, that was a kind of a franchise-changing trade almost, because they've been struggling for a second baseman ever since. I mean,
right.
They got Kipnis, but, you know, he played very well, but he was a converted guy. But, you know, they traded away really a talented guy just because there was a personality conflict with Eric Wedge in the front office. And but there was no personality conflict with Naquin. Naquin was a sweetheart. I mean, he's a good dude.
He was a great guy in the clubhouse. His teammates loved him. And he said, you know, a couple of quotes from him in the post game. He said, you know, I got a lot of great relationships over in that clubhouse. So he didn't want to sort of stick it to him. There was a moment in that interview where he sort of hesitated, and he had an opportunity to be like, yeah, you know what, forget them. But he said, you know, I've got some good relationships over there. So he was very diplomatic about his response when asked if it felt good to win that most outstanding player against your former club.
The one thing I always remember about Naquin is, you know, the year he got hurt, I think 2019, I was having a really good bounce back season, made that great catch, you know, saved Shane Bieber a couple runs. Then he ran into the fence at Tropicana Field, blew out his knee, and, you know, that he lost the last month of a really good season. And then he tried to come back in the strike, you know, I mean, in the pandemic year. And I remember he fouled a ball off his foot or something in spring training too, and was a non-factor in the 60-game sprint.
Yeah, that was sort of what kind of soured the club on him and made him a non-tender candidate. We came into these two games, and I thought to myself, boy, these two games ahead of a Detroit series where the Tigers have been scuffling with their pitching, you know, these are must-win games. You know, this is a team that had 9 wins total coming into Cleveland, and now they've got 11. You know, it just seems like a missed opportunity in both games. You had the extra inning game on Tuesday night. You know, the rainout didn't help things, but this loss kind of hurts.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. These are two games. You got to split this series at least. You know, you give the Reds one, but you got to split it. And they were in a great spot, you know, Tuesday night when Miller hits the home run to bring them back. And usually that's, you know, that you know, home, that Progressive Field magic pulls through for them in extra innings. It didn't this time, and today they just got, you know, they just kind of, you know, kind of got sloppy in the eighth inning. Stephen made the error and got away from them. So, but this series against Detroit coming in, you know, they beat up the Tigers for the last 5 or 6 years, and the Tigers are kind of limping in with their pitching staff. So, you know, I would think it would be a good time to win a series.
Right, 12-7 against the Tigers over last season. This year, the Tigers have three of their five main starters on the injured list already. Casey Mize is on there with an elbow. Michael Pineda is on there with an elbow, and they just placed Eduardo Rodriguez on with a left side issue as well. So, and you've got Shane Bieber. I'm sorry, Aaron Civale, then Shane Bieber, and then Tristan McKenzie. The three of those pitchers combined 14-2 in 19 starts against the Tigers. Those are pretty good numbers against, you know, Detroit overall. Obviously, this is a Tigers team that they haven't seen yet, and you still got to feel them out. But, you know, Aaron Civale, who's been really struggling, is probably the happiest of any pitcher on staff to see Detroit coming to town. He is 6-0 in 7 career starts against the Tigers, and I think his ERA against Detroit is at 2.93. So, opportunity here this weekend to sort of just feel good about yourself before you head out on the road again to Houston, which is going to be a challenge. But, you know, we don't even talk about the way that those guys are hitting the ball, because that right now, that lineup is rivaling, you know, any in the league. What's in front of the Guardians this weekend is again, I'll say the word, is opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Civale, you know, really needs a good start. I mean, he has really struggled. He hasn't pitched like Civale. And, you know, the Tigers have made a lot of changes over the winter. You know, they brought Javi Baez in. So we'll see, you know, just where they're at. But they've struggled. There's no doubt about that, Joe. And but we thought the Reds were struggling too. So I mean, this is a time, like you say, opportunity knocks, and but you got to open the door and welcome it in.
You still got to play the games. On paper, yeah, all of these games look like wins, but you know they don't play it on paper. They play it out on the field, and it'll help to possibly have Josh Naylor back. That'll be a situation that I think would. That was definitely something that we saw before Naylor went on the COVID list. We saw the energy. We saw the just what he added to the middle of that lineup, the punch that he added to the middle of that lineup. And it was missing in these two games for certain. There were times there where you said, boy, if that was Josh Naylor up there at the plate, you know, putting together maybe a good at-bat, you know, things might have been different. At least the way he was hitting in Chicago, you know, heading into Minnesota. Jose Ramirez fouling a ball off of his leg in the eighth inning. Word from Terry Francona after the game is that Ramirez was headed for some x-rays. We don't have the results of those yet, but, you know, I would be very surprised to see Jose in the lineup tomorrow. You know, definitely try to get him a day off, which is a shame because Jose's numbers against Detroit are as good as anybody in the league.
Yeah, he owns the Tigers, but
22 career home runs. Yeah. I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, that was a tough foul ball off his shin, and he was, you know, you never see Jose down like that, and he was down for several minutes. And then even when the trainer and Tito left, you know, he was kind of kneeling over, mm-hmm. you know, just bent over before getting in the box for a couple minutes. So, and then he comes through for the single.
Yeah, but credit to him. I mean, that's so Jose Ramirez that he would get up. You know, and the best part was the fans in there were a few of them in the ballpark today. Jose gets up. You know, he's flexing. He's dipping down. He's trying to get himself ready, and then all of a sudden he stands up straight. and does his typical strut to the box. That same strut that earned him the nickname George Jefferson from Terry Francona. You saw it for a second there. There was a flash, and everyone went, "Oh, all right, here we go." And then he hits a ground ball single through the right side. He's just that kind of guy. I would just hate to see this be some sort of like long-term nagging thing for him that causes him. He's already in a bit of a scuffle right now. You said, what, 10 for 60 is last?
Yeah, 10 for 60. He's struggling a little bit.
So, you know, I would hate to see this develop into something that, that sort of torpedoes what started out as an all-star caliber season for Ramirez. And even if Ramirez is, you know, gutsy enough to be healthy and ready to go for the lineup tomorrow, it won't be Terry Francona who writes his name in the lineup. Tito told us as we're leaving the postgame comments on Thursday that he's got to stop and have a medical procedure. It didn't sound like it was anything real serious. It was something quick and minor. But again, you're talking about Terry Francona, and there are no minor medical procedures when you talk about Terry Francona.
Right, and you know, DeMarlo Hay will be running the club Friday. Tito said he'll be back Saturday. And he couldn't get the procedure done, you know, this last week when they had some off days because of COVID. So, so we'll see how that goes. But hopefully it's not too serious, and he's back in the dugout on Saturday where he belongs and where, the Guardians need him. They need everything pulling in the right direction here.
Yeah, in order for this club to be successful, they need Tito at the top. They need Hosey doing Hosey things, and they need everybody else down the lineup to be at least contributing in some way. When that all happens, this team can score 10 runs a game and pitch the lights out. When all of those things aren't in line, it's a real struggle on a daily basis for them to win games.
Yeah, because you can see, Straw's, kind of, he's in and out a little bit. Quan is cooled off. Miller's still, he's still, hitting late, but he's kind of in a little bit of a funk. So, you really need your veteran guys, and you need Jose in there, you need Naylor back, and you need Franmil Reyes.
Yeah, it's so cliche sometimes to hear them all talk about how it has to be a team win and that kind of thing, but for these guys, it really does.
Yeah,
it's really apparent. All right, so we're going to head into the weekend. Big weekend. Boy, a lot of events. A lot of life-changing events going on in the Guardians press box this week. Zach Meisel and his wife Lauren had a baby boy, Charlie, and we got to see pictures of the kid and hear from Zach. Tomorrow, Saturday, Mandy Bell from MLB.com is getting married to her boyfriend of, 12, 13 years, Angelo Aronis.
They've been going together since grade school,
right? Since grade school. So, just a lot of happy things going on here on the Guardians beat, and we love being a part of it. So for all of them and for me and Hoynesy, we'll check in with you again on Monday, and hopefully we'll be talking about a good three-game stretch over this weekend for the Guardians. Hey, Guardians fans, just a reminder that you can sign up for Guardians Subtext here on Cleveland.com. It's our subscription text service that allows you to connect with Paul Hoynes and myself all season long, and we give you updates on injuries, roster moves, the latest trends and analysis. Great time to sign up right now. Go to Cleveland.com/subtext to learn more, or if you want to sign up, $3.99 a month, send a text to 216-208-4346, and you'll get a direct channel to message back and forth with Paul Hoynes and myself regarding Guardians baseball all season long. We'd love to hear from you on Guardians Subtext.